Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I'm Konstantinos, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Eurobank Holdings conference call to present and discuss the full year 2022 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fokionos Karavias, CEO. Mr. Karavias, you may now proceed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome to our call. Together with me is our CFO, Haris Kokologiannis, and the investor relations team. Before we start, I would like to state that we, all at Eurobank, are devastated by the recent railway tragic event and express our deep grief and condolences to the families of those lost. I will start the call with a quick review of the 2022 performance and then focus on our business plan and the financial targets for the years 2023-25. Haris will give you more details on the business drivers for the three-year period. Finally, we will answer your questions. In 2022, Eurobank outperformed all targets set for the year, as can be seen on pages 6 and 7. Core operating profit increased by 84% to 885 million euros, and adjusted EPS, that is excluding one-off items, to 18 cents. Our adjusted return on tangible book value reached 11.4%, while tangible book value per share increased by 20% to 1.70 euro. Asset quality improved further, with NPA ratio declining to 5.2%. Our regulatory capital ratios boosted to 15.2% fully loaded CET1 and 19% total CAD, or an annual increase by 250 and 290 basis points, respectively. These results were delivered amid a strong economic background, despite the negative impact of increased geopolitical volatility, disruption in supply chains, and persistent inflationary pressures. GDP was up by almost 6% in both Greece and Cyprus, and by 3.7% in Bulgaria. So growth in all our core markets outperformed the EU average. Economic expansion, among other factors, was driven by investments, underpinned by the RRF and record FDI. This has also contributed to the strong expansion of our loan book by 3.3 billion euros in 2022. As it can be seen in slide 8, where we show key sustainable finance initiatives in 2022, green financing share in this loan expansion is material and keeps increasing. Let me now present the highlights of our 2023-25 business plan, the macroeconomic assumptions of which are summarized on page 12. The economic growth outlook remains relatively strong for Greece, Bulgaria, and Cyprus, with average annual growth rate between 2 and 3% for the next 3 years. In particular, it appears that the economic growth in Greece may be well above 2% in 2023, as pointed out by the most recent data from tourism early bookings, lower energy prices, and the investments pipeline. Additionally, rates are already moving higher than our initial assumptions. High interest rates allow for some headroom in terms of net interest income, but on the other hand, would affect adversely loan demand and asset quality. The financial goals for the 23-25 business plan are summarized on page 13. Over the three-year period, we expect EPS to grow at an average rate of around 12% per annum, front-loaded in 2023. We upgrade our target of return on tangible book value from 10% to the area of 12%-13% on a sustainable and recurring basis over the same period. As such, tangible book value per share should exceed €2.30 in 2025. Our strong profitability translates to organic capital generation of more than 200 basis points per annum. This will be used to finance asset growth, with loans expanding at a 7% compounded annual growth rate, and should allow us to explore further potential M&A opportunities. Moreover, organic capital generation should facilitate rewarding shareholders through dividends distribution and share buybacks. Shareholders' reward is now becoming key in our strategy. Specifically for 2023, the amount earmarked for dividend distribution will be used in an optimal way to bid for the 1.4% HFSF stake through a share buyback scheme. The initiative has been discussed with the supervisor, who encouraged us to proceed with an official submission. For next year onwards, we envisage a payout ratio of at least 25% in the form of cash dividends and share buybacks. The above financial objectives rely on our well-diversified business model, with more than a third of our core operating profit coming outside Greece. In our three core markets, Greece, Bulgaria, and Cyprus, along with Eurobank Luxembourg, which is our wealth management center, we actively seek to enhance our presence organically and through potential M&A. In this context, and in line with our strategy, we recently executed a capital reallocation by disinvesting from Serbia at favorable valuation terms and proceeding with the already announced investments in Bulgaria and Cyprus, markets which offer higher profitability potential. Overall, we are pleased that we consistently outperform our targets for several years. Our strong balance sheet and a tested business model makes us confident about capturing the growth opportunities in our region, delivering sustainable returns and rewarding our shareholders for years to come. At this point, I would like to ask Harris to present our business plan drivers in more detail.
Thank you, Fokion. I will start with NII and the evolution of volumes on page 15. Loan growth is expected to slightly decelerate from the 10% pace recorded in 2022 to an annual average of 7.5% for the plan's horizon. Specifically, performing loans are anticipated to grow by 2.8 billion in 2023, and by 9 billion in the three-year period, driven by business loans in Greece and Cyprus, and by both retail and corporate portfolio in Bulgaria. Business lending growth in Greece will be mainly powered by investments in five pillars: infrastructure, energy and green transition, digitization of the economy, tourism and manufacturing. Still on the same page, at the right part, group deposits are expected to increase in 2023 by €2.2 billion, and for the three-year plan by €6 billion, which translates to an annual average growth rate of circa 3.5%. Moving on spreads on page 16. Lending spreads are expected to decline by circa 30 basis points in 2023, mainly affected by new production of corporate loans at lower margins, as well as by the outstanding loans with fixed rate, i.e. consumer, small business, and fixed rate mortgages. Deposit spreads, at the right part of the page, are affected by the pass-through rates and the deposit mix. More specifically, we expect time deposits pass-through rate to reach 65% in 2023 and further increase to 75% in 2024 and 2025. Pass-through rate for core deposits is anticipated to move at low levels and not exceed 20% during the plan period. On the deposit mix, we anticipate an increase of time to total deposit ratio from circa 25% currently to 40% for the full year 2023, and then up to 60% in 2025. Finally, on this page, net interest margin, mainly reflecting deposit spread trend, should increase to 235 basis points in 2023 before slightly decreasing to 220 basis points in 2025. Finally, on NII and on page 17, net interest income is expected to increase by 20% or 320 million euro in 2023 as a result of Euribor increase and new loan production, which offset higher MREL costs and lower lending spreads. In the following years, NII may slightly decline as positive impact from new loan production is offset by higher deposit pass-through and MREL cost. Moving on fees and commissions on page 18. Following a 20% annual increase during the last 2 years, the trend is anticipated to slow down during the 3-year plan period. Commissions will increase on average by 3.5% per annum, reaching 70 basis points over assets in 2025. Specifically in 2023, fees may technically decline as they incorporate the full year effect of merchant acquiring this investment. Asset management and private banking are key to our strategy. Related fees are anticipated to increase at double-digit ratio in 2023 and assets under management to double over the 3-year period. Network and transaction-related fees should also show a remarkable growth in 2023, reflecting the resilient economic activity conditions in our core markets and the record tourism season expected this year in Greece. Lending fees, following a 50% year-on-year growth in 2022, are expected to be slightly reduced in 2023 as corporate loan disbursements may slow down. Finally, our 1.3 billion euro investment property portfolio will continue to produce approximately 100 million euro rental income per annum. Moving on the transformation plan and on pages 19 to 21, the launch initiatives have already started to deliver tangible results in all 6 pillars of the plan. We are enhancing our client-centric model, delivering more business in retail banking with less resources. Major achievements include the launch of new digital and phygital products, new customer onboarding journeys, new banking services packages, and redesigned bancassurance offerings. In the context of providing more targeted solutions to our customers, we deploy machine learning, risk analytics, and risk-based pricing tools in household and small business lending. Finally, we continue the simplification and streamlining of internal processes, increasing end-to-end efficiency and agility. The above initiatives, apart from the top-line strengthening, aim at streamlining our cost base so as to address the new challenges as shown on page 22. More specifically, in Greece, we target saving more than 40 million euro on an annual base of round-the-bank cost through staff rationalization, head office space optimization, branch network, and other G&A initiatives, and channeling the savings to address the persistent inflationary pressures, but also to grow the bank-related investments in information technology and digitization, but also in human capital through bringing on board, developing, and properly remunerating new skill set people. Overall, we expect operating costs in Greece to increase by 2% in 2023 and remain stable over the three-year period, taking also into account the impact of contribution to resolution fund expected to be seized by 2025. In Southeastern Europe, cost base will be adjusted this year due to the acquisition of BNP in Bulgaria. Furthermore, costs are anticipated to increase organically by 5-6% per annum, reflecting the implementation of new core systems in Cyprus and Luxembourg, the inflationary pressures which are more intense in Bulgaria, and the resources needed to attract and retain talented staff, considering the high attrition rate in these countries. Concluding this page, the undertaken cost initiatives, combined with the deployment of transformation program, enable the bank to address the growth challenges with less resources and drive the cost-to-core income ratio from 44% in 2022 to 40% or below even from 2023. Moving on page 23 and on Southeastern Europe operations. Net income is expected to increase by circa 60% over the three-year period, reaching 360 million euro in 2025. Main drivers of this outlook are loan growth at a high single-digit ratio per annum, lending and transaction-related commissions, and the large deposit base, which gets an additional value under current interest rates environment. Finally, on capital and on page 24. Fully loaded CET1 ratio is anticipated to increase by circa 80 basis points in 2023, reaching 16%. Organic profitability will generate circa 240 basis points of capital. Part of that will be channeled to asset growth and the buyback of HFSF shares. Impact from already announced M&A activity is expected to be neutral, as the capital consumption for the acquisition of BNP in Bulgaria and the increase of our stake to Helsinki Bank to 29% are offset by the positive impact of Serbia disinvestment. In addition, this year, we plan another synthetic securitization of 1.5 billion corporate loans, contributing circa 40 basis points to capital. Furthermore, we will proceed to switching from IRB to standardized risk rating method with an adverse impact of circa 30 basis points. For 2024 and 2025, the organic profitability is anticipated to generate circa 460 basis points of capital, out of which almost half are channeled to asset growth and 90 basis points to dividends and buybacks. Fully loaded CET1 ratio is expected to be higher than 17% at the end of 2025. Finally, on capital, on page 25, total CAT will remain stable in 2023 at 19% and increase at 20% by 2025. This capital plan does not include any issuance of AT1, which may be considered in the future as an optimization tool to increase further bank's distribution capacity. Concluding this presentation, we are very pleased about our budget for 2023 and new three-year business plan. Its KPIs are summarized on page 14. For this year, we target a core PPI of circa 1.4 billion euro, which, combined with a prudent cost of risk of 85 basis points, concludes to a core operating profit of 1.1 billion. This drives the return on tangible book value to 13% and EPS to 22 cents. In 2025, return on tangible book value remains robust at a level of at least 12%. And in conjunction with the forecasted capital position, set the stage for commensurate shareholders' rewards in the coming years. This completes my presentation, and we may now open the floor for your questions.
The first question is from the line of Siddiqui Nira with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for the call and the detailed guidance on the 23-25 business plan. I have a few questions. Firstly, it would be great to get some color on the dividend decision for 2022. As per my understanding, previously Eurobank was planning to initiate dividends from 2022 profit. So any color around that would be much appreciated. Secondly, I just wanted to get a clarification in terms of the underlying assumptions for the 23-25 business plan. Is my understanding correct that the ECB rate assumption that you have baked in is 2.5%? And if that's the case, you know, rate expectations at this point are much higher. So firstly, you know, what is the reason for this conservative assumption? And secondly, if you could perhaps talk about sensitivities to NII and also bottom line, if, you know, assuming rates are higher than this assumption, because I understand, of course, NII sensitivities are lower as rates keep increasing, and one also needs to keep in mind the impact on asset quality and loan growth. And then my third and final question is on M&A and your plans for M&A in the 23-25 plan. If you could just comment on how you're thinking about it, which countries are you particularly looking at, and what's the criteria in terms of what, you know, which countries are attractive for you? Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. Let me start for your middle question as regards the underlying assumptions about base interest rates are concerned, and then for Kion May, address the issue of dividend decision and the M&A. It is true what you said. On page 12, you may see that the ECB deposit facility rate used in our assumptions in our business plan is 2.5%, and the reason is that when we prepared and filed our business plan to the board, that was in December, the prevailing outlook was for such an ECB rate projection. Of course, as you very correctly noted, we are, as we speak, to a higher interest rate environment of approximately 100 basis points. And this, of course, may have positive repercussions to our P&L, but also some further threats. Let me start from the hard numbers. We have run some sensitivities on that, and assuming no change to the business plan pass-through rate and deposit mix, a 100 basis points increase in base rates result in additional approximately 200 million of NII. Of course, this is the positive side of the story. However, as you correctly pointed, we may have some repercussions on the asset quality, as well as on the loan growth or the spreads. So on that front, running our sensitivities on asset quality, we can say that on the corporate book, we feel quite comfortable about the asset quality of corporate loans. The most sensitive loan category, I would say, is mortgage loans. And on that part, we have run also a sensitivity, increasing the base rate to 3.5%, and for almost half of the mortgage portfolio, the monthly installment increases by approximately 15%, and for the rest, 50%, the increase is quite higher, close to 30% on average. However, it should be noted here that the actual euro impact on the monthly installments for the latter cluster of the portfolio is close to 100 euro. In our business plan, we have to say that we have already adopted a prudent approach to account for the potential impact of increased interest rates on disposable income of the customers. For 2023, we have assumed an NP formation positive of 400 million euro against 46 million euro in 2022. And this forecast appears quite conservative and may account for the potential impact of even higher interest rates than those assumed in the business plan. Now, going to loan growth, on the loan growth, we may have an increased risk from some acceleration of loan repayments by large businesses enjoying ample liquidity position. And in addition, we may have lower attractiveness of investments due to higher IRR required. However, we have to note here that we anyway have reflected some slowdown in our figures in our 2023 lending growth, as group performing loans are forecast to increase by 2.8 billion in 2023 versus 3.3 billion in 2022. Second, the great majority of expected growth is based on the corporate book, where it is again based on a number of investment projects that are in pipeline and in advanced progress of in a status of advanced progress. Third, a part of growth is expected to come from the RRF loans, and there we should accept that investments funded by RRF have anyway lower required IRR due to the lower average cost of funding. So they are less affected, one could say, by additional increases of interest rates. Now, coming to the last part of the case as regards loan spreads. In our business plan, we have already assumed a 40 basis points contraction of corporate loan spreads as regards 2023 versus 2022, and a further 10 basis points for the following years. Now, interest rate increases above 2.5% base rate is not expected based on some, let's say, market sensitivity that we have run, not resulting in an additional notable spread pressure, not, I would say, worse than 5 to 10 basis points contraction. So I think I provided a thorough overview of this sensitivity, and I may pass now to Fokion for the other two legs of your question.
Thank you, Haris. Let me start from your question regarding the dividend of the 2022 financial results. As you are aware, the HFSF announced its disinvestment plan for the four Greek systemic banks back in mid of January. Having reviewed this plan, we believe that it is optimal for Eurobank shareholders to use the earmarked dividend amount in order to bid for this 1.4% HFSF stake through a share buyback scheme. And I think the reasons are obvious. First of all, the buyback is EPS accretive by about 1.4%. We buy the stock below the book value. And furthermore, the bank will exit the HFSF framework. This is something that we have discussed quite extensively with the SSM. We have received positive feedback, and we have already filed the formal application for this share buyback with the regulator. We expect the formal approval over the next couple of months. Then, obviously, the EGM approval has to follow, and that will drive us most likely in the second half of 2023 to submit an official offer to the HFSF. Now, as I mentioned in my introduction, shareholders' reward has become key in our strategy for this three-year plan. And therefore, we envisage a payout ratio of at least 25% for cash dividends 2023 onwards, and potentially some additional share buyback programs. Moving now on your last question about the M&A opportunities and which countries this may refer to. We have stated a number of times that our group operates in three core markets, Greece, Bulgaria, and Cyprus. In these three markets, we opt to increase our activity organically, but also through M&A opportunities, if such opportunities arise. So the M&A will be focused on these three core markets. These markets are in a consolidation mode, especially I'm talking about Bulgaria and Cyprus, and therefore we would explore the opportunities along these lines.
Thank you very much. That's very clear.
The next question is from the line of Sevim Mehmet with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much for the presentation, and thank you for taking my question. I have a couple additional questions, please, both on NII as well as the capital trajectory from here. Firstly, on NII, even taking into account a 2.5% deposit rate by the ECB, I think the outlook looks quite conservative, because I think, Harris, you mentioned 330 million increase in 2023, which on a quarterly basis implies the same level of NII as in the fourth quarter. So is there anything else that you see will create some pressure, like deposit betas or, you know, any additional color you can give here, or is that simply just a very conservative outlook? And in terms of the TLTRO contribution, which looks quite high in the fourth quarter, unusually, what was the reason for that, please? And excuse me, please, if I've missed that in the presentation. And finally, on the dividends and buybacks, your set one target of 17.4% for 2025 looks quite strong. Is this where you'd see normalized levels of capital going forward, or do you think this trajectory may allow a higher payout ratio than the 25% that you have? Specifically, I'm trying to understand, is that a target that you want to reach, or is it simply an output based on those general assumptions in the guidance? Thank you very much.
Okay, let me start from the first couple of questions regarding NII, and then Fokion may comment on the last part. First of all, you may have understood that we always build some degree of conservatism on our plan. But apart from that, we have to note that in 2023 we envisage a significant increase of deposit pass-through rates for time deposit. We expect an increase to 65% compared to close to 35% that used to be the case in the fourth quarter, and 45% as we speak. Furthermore, we expect a, let's say, quote-unquote deterioration of mix in favor of time deposits that from a current contribution of 25% is expected to increase in 2023 to an average 40%. Furthermore, in 2023, we have a significant burden in our NII from MREL and Tier 2. So in aggregate, these two drivers are expected to have an adverse contribution of close 75 to 80 million euro compared to 2022. And the further impact, adverse impact from the contraction of spreads. So these are the reconciling drivers between 2022 fourth quarter and 2023. Now, as regards TLTRO, it is not straightforward to make some reconciliation as the quarterly bookings on TLTRO are based on the maturity of its program, on the accruing method that we follow, etc. So this is the reason that you may observe this this amount in the fourth quarter. Now I pass to Fokion to comment on the issue of capital level and distribution and all this.
Okay. On page 24, we project the capital trajectory based on the assumptions of the business plan as they have been discussed so far. So I would like to clarify that there is no CET1 ratio targeting implied by what we have projected here. It is just the evolution of the CET1 ratio as per the assumptions of the business plan. This ratio reaching 17.4% in 2025 obviously is a very healthy CET1 ratio that should allow us to execute the dividend strategy that we have outlined, but it should be also able to help us execute any sort of M&A opportunity if this comes true. Now, in terms of the payout ratio, we have assumed a number of at least 25%. Let me comment on that. Our position is that we have to gradually rebuild our payout policy, taking into account the concerns of all stakeholders. Starting already in 2023, the payout implied by the share buyback is circa 15%. Therefore, we build on that, and we are planning to move to higher payout ratios year after year. I would like also to add that on page 25, we present some additional capital options on the right part of the page that are not part of the business plan that we have presented so far. So these are additional tools that we could potentially use in an effort to optimize further our capital structure and through that to enhance even more shareholder reward.
And let me come back on the previous leg of your question regarding TLTRO, and to be absolutely clear with my answer. If you go on page 46 of the presentation, on the left part of the page, indeed we show a significant increase of TLTRO from 9 to 34 million euro. However, as you may know that the footnote, first, this analysis is based on gross income and it's not margin, and this is net of placements to central banks. So the major part of the increase is coming from surplus liquidity to central banks, and is, of course, related with interest rate trajectory.
Okay, that's all very clear. Thanks very much.
The next question is from the line of Alevizakos Alevizos with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for the presentation and congratulations on this set of results. I've got a couple of questions. The first question is regarding the cost of risk target, the 85 bps and the 60 bps. I understand that some of that will go down to the protection fee paid for the synthetic securitization. So I was wondering whether you can give a split. How much of that is actually going into the synthetic securitization? And also which asset classes or regions are you prioritizing on securing? And the second is a technical one on RWA. You said that you are switching from IRB to standardized. There was already an adjustment in your capital, and your density is already higher than the average in Europe. So what was the reason for that change? Thank you.
Let me say a few things about cost of risk. Why 85 basis points, and then Harris can give you the breakdown into the different components of the cost of risk. As Harris mentioned already, we have assumed a formation for the course of 2023 of 400-450 million euros. This formation is quite higher from what the GDP growth and unemployment level would imply, but has taken into account a more adverse interest rate environment than the 2.5% that we mentioned before. We have already taken into account Euribor reaching 4% in this formation. And this formation is in line with a cost of risk of about 85 basis points, which, as you said correctly, it also includes the cost that we have for the different synthetic securitizations that we have done so far. So let me pass over to Harris to give you some more details on that.
Sure. So let's start from your last part of the question regarding switch to standardize. Actually, it is about a simple cost-benefit analysis. So taking into account the continuously increasing cost to maintain IRB models in tandem with shrinking benefit, and I will elaborate further on that, versus the standardized approach, led us to the decision to switch from the IRB to standardize in 2023. And on that part, following a supervisory dialogue, our IRB model had to be calibrated to take into account the severe financial crisis in Greece over the past years, and especially taking into account the years 2011 to 2015, where the country passed over a very severe financial crisis, without having the ability for any upside adjustment. This, you may appreciate, that would produce very punitive RWA factors, which do not reflect at all the current economic conditions in the country. Therefore, it was decided to switch from the IRB to standardize, with a negative capital impact of approximately 30 basis points. Now, as regards your first part of the question, out of the total cost of risk of 85 basis points, almost two-thirds is normal provisions, normal increase of provision stock. The rest, one-third, is both servicing fees to our servicer, Duvalu, and cost of synthetic securitization. On that front, again, out of this one-third, two-thirds is legal and collection fees to Duvalu, and one-third is the cost of synthetic securitization.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Butkov Mikhail with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good day. Thank you very much for the presentation. Some of my questions were already asked. The first one for me is, the investors and the market keep discussing the topic that Greek sovereign debt can get an investment grade rating. So from your perspective, what implications, operational implications, do you see? And maybe more specifically, if I may ask, on the your Greek government bonds sensitivity to yields and repricing of that. Can you get any rollbacks to the capital ratios in case of bond yields appreciation? What would be the size of that? And then more broadly on your guidance, you mentioned a reasonable level of conservatism, particularly the topics discussed were around the NII. Do you see any other areas of upside or maybe risks on the downside around the guidance, which you might share or highlight? Thank you.
Okay, let me start from your question. The first question, the investment grade in Greece and how this may affect our GDP holdings. First of all, we would expect investment grade most likely in the second half of the year, given the progress that the country has done, but also given the progress that the banking sector has done in terms of the NP ratio and the capital ratios. Now, the effect of investment grade into the banks is going to be twofold. It should allow us to issue MREL securities at lower spreads, so at a lower cost, which is something quite important given the size of the MREL securities, and would also benefit the spreads of GGBs, which to some extent already happening. As you see, GGBs are trading through the Italian BTPs. So this is something that the market has already started pricing. Now, in our case, given that most of our bonds is in the amortized cost portfolio, we don't expect to see any sort of immediate bottom line effect because of the investment grade, the sovereign investment grade. I would say that for Eurobank, the main positive effect will come through the issuance of MREL securities. Now, Harry, moving on to the second question.
Yes. Now, regarding trying to, let's say, to list the downside and upside risks of our plan, in general, we have tried to be quite prudent on the assumptions. Regarding downside risks, of course, you may appreciate that interest rates may affect positively NII, but negatively may have a negative impact on loan growth and asset quality in the way that I explained before. We have referred to the loan spread contraction due to higher interest rate, but also to market conditions and the intense competition that there is in the market for corporate loans. Another risk is the pass-through rates, which is a very sensitive driver of our business plan, although we try to accommodate a quite conservative view on the pass-through rate and on the mix. And perhaps the political risk, taking also into account the latest developments. However, you may appreciate that there are also some upside risks, starting from the macro assumptions that we have made and that are summarized on page 12. We have assumed the GDP growth of 2%. It may be the case that growth may be higher than 2%. We have assumed an unemployment of 11.8% average for the year. Already in January, we enjoy an unemployment of 10.8%, a mark that we have many, many years to see. And of course, the higher base rates, as I explained, are expected to have a positive impact on our NII at first place. Then we have made quite conservative assumptions on asset quality. We have assumed the formation of €400 million and the cost of risk that actually reflects the formation of 85 basis points. The situation may be that due to a number of credit positive factors, formation may be lower and in turn may have also lower cost of risk. So these are, in a nutshell, the upside, the downside risk. I don't know if you want
to... No, it's okay.
Mr. Butkov's line has been disconnected, so we'll now move on to our next question. And the next question is from the line of Memisoglu Osman with Ambrosia Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, many thanks for the presentation and your time. I have a question on your NII breakdown. The bond and derivatives income seem to have jumped quite sharply from about 70 to 88. Could you give us some color on that? Is that more derivatives driven? Because I see the securities book had a slight increase, or maybe yield pickup. And you know, what should the outlook be? What is the outlook in the guidance for this these things? And then on the capital side, I'm guessing this 30 bips from the switch is one off, and it's not included in. In your walkthrough for capital going forward, if you could confirm that. Thank you.
Sure. Let me start from the second leg of your question. The answer is it is included. If you go on page, give me 1 second, on page 24, and you go to note 5, the minus 15 basis points includes an adverse impact from market risk, a positive impact from synthetic securitization that I just mentioned of €1.5 billion, and the switch standardized approach, the 30 basis points. So it is plus 40 coming from the fourth securitization, minus 30, and we have minus 30 from switch standardized, and another 20-25 basis points from market risk and other regulatory adjustments. So it is therein included. Now, turning to your next question regarding bonds and derivatives, I repeat what I said before, that here we have the numbers based on gross income basis, so these are affected. And these are affected by the interest rate movements, and considering that our bonds have turned into floating almost 100% through derivatives, this reflects first the movement of base interest rate, but also we had an increase of in the volumes of bonds and securities from 13 billion at the end of September to 13.4 billion. So an increase of close to €400 million that also contributed to this increase. So that's.
Could I follow up, Harry? Thank you for that. If you go to slide 17, the walkthrough to 23 NII, you have a €40 million from other. So what would the bond slash derivatives contribution be year over year? Is that
sure.
Something you can provide?
The bonds have a positive contribution in 2023 of close to €200 million. So part of this 40, it is therein included €200 million that becomes close to 210 in 2025. Furthermore, on that in that line, we have included the negative impact from repos, the negative impact from MREL, from senior MREL, and the negative impact of Tier 2. And the main, let's say, negative variance, that, as you may observe, the plus 40 becomes minus 110. The major driver of this negative variance is coming from new senior issuances and the new Tier 2 issuances, as we describe on page 15 on the down on the right down on the bottom right part of the presentation.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Nelly Simon with Citibank. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks very much for the opportunity. Most of my questions have actually been answered, but I got a few. Can you just indicate what the nature of the quite strong trading and other income was in the fourth quarter? That'd be interesting in the outlook there. Also, could you just help walk through your NPE reduction plans over the next 3 years and how you expect to deliver that? And are there some one-off costs that aren't in the budget in the plan that haven't been disclosed that will make that happen? And then last, if you could just talk a bit about your Southeast operations and how you're going to deliver that 60% profit growth. Is it coming mostly from Cyprus or from Bulgaria, or is it a even mix between the two? And yeah, just on your intentions with Hellenic Bank, are you looking to acquire more to hit that target? Thank you.
So let me start from the non-core income that we had in the fourth quarter of 2022. It is 100 million euro on a group basis. First, it includes the investment property fair value that it takes place at the end of each year. This is 40 million euro, and the rest, 60 more or less, it is trading gains related to hedging derivatives. Now, as regards the one-off that we expect for the budget, we expect below the line. Let me make a step before. As regards other income, trading and other income, we expect this to return back to normalized levels, i.e., no more than 80 to 100 million euro per annum. And as regards the below the line items, we expect a positive impact of close to 100 million euro. The major part coming from the negative goodwill coming from the recognition of Helleniki Bank as an associate upon the completion of the acquisition of the 16% that we have acquired by Wargaming, something that is expected at by the end of March. So let me pass to Fokion to explain you about the background of our NPE plan, and I will return to the composition of our profitability in Southeastern Europe.
In terms of the NPE evolution, as we mentioned already, we ended 22.2%. Despite the fact that we have assumed in our plan for 2023 a positive formation of 400 million euro, the NPE ratio will remain at 5.2 due to a number of liquidations, write-offs, and also the growth of our loan book, the denominator effect. By 2025, we project the NPE ratio to decline to 4.5% or lower. And this is going to be done primarily through internal workouts and collections. We are not envisaging at this point any further material transactions.
And the reduction this year, are you going to have to take some extraordinary costs that aren't really being flagged here?
No.
So everything is included in the risk costs.
Got everything is included on the 85 basis points cost of risk.
So as regards the composition of profitability in from international, 50% is coming from Bulgaria. I'm talking about 2025. 50% is coming from Bulgaria, 40% from Cyprus, and 10% from Luxembourg.
Got it. Okay. And to get the Cyprus number, do you need to increase your stake in Hellenic further?
This is something that we would evaluate according to developments that we see in this market. So we monitor very carefully, and if there is any opportunity, are going to consider it very seriously.
Okay. Okay. That's all for me. Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Garrido Luis with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two, please. The first on capital, you noted that on slide 14, the capital guide that you have is just sort of an output of the other assumptions. Do you have a management target for the CET1 ratio, please? And in that context, can you give us a sense of how many percentage points of CET1 ratio you would be comfortable giving up for M&A? And then my second question is on the acquisition of BNP Personal Finance in Bulgaria. Can you talk a little bit about why this is a more interesting asset for Eurobank than for BNP? Thank you.
Okay. let me start from the second question. BNP had just this operation in Bulgaria, which, as a matter of fact, was and still is a very profitable operation with very interesting penetration in the local consumer lending market. Eurobank is a universal bank in Bulgaria. Therefore, we have the full spectrum of products across retail, but also important relationship with corporates and retailers. And therefore, we expect to have quite some interesting synergies out of the acquisition of this operation. You may recall that we have done a number of mergers in Bulgaria. 2016, we had absorbed the Alpha Bank operation there. 2019, it was the Bank of Piraeus operation. All of them produced quite important synergies, both in terms of revenue as well as in terms of cost. And the same we expect to be the case for the absorption of the of this consumer lending a unit. Now, in terms of capital targeting, we want to be comfortable above the regulatory ratios. I would say to be about 100 to 200 basis points, maybe closer to 200 basis points, more than the regulatory ratios. From what we have presented here, we're well above this buffer that we want to have in our set one, which should allow us either to move on the M&A side, again, only if there is the right opportunity, or to be more active in terms of our shareholding rewarding plan.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Karavias for any closing comments. Thank you.
Let me thank you all for participating in this conference call. We had quite a number of questions. I think we should have provided more color to our plan. We are planning to be in London early next week and in the U.S. In the beginning of April. Therefore, we are looking forward to meeting you there if you have more interest to discuss about our plan. Thank you.